Hafaday, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was presented in January of 2007. The title of the message, Taste and See That God Is Good Enough For You.
Isaiah 2, verses 5 down through verse 9. And listen what Isaiah says. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves with the children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold, and neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end to their chariot. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, and that which their own fingers have made. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, listen to this, guys. Isaiah's talking to God, and he says this, forgive them not. If there was ever a time that there was a desperate need for there to be light shining on the darkness of this world, it is now, because I'm going to tell you something. We live in a blind society, in a blind culture, in a blind world, because the darkness all around us has permeated everything. And today, I want us to look, because the same darkness that had blinded these people and they could not see the truth is the same blindness that darkens us. And I'm afraid that there are teenagers sitting right here, and I'm in danger of the same deception. Me, you, your parents, the pastoral staff of this church, we are all in danger of the same darkness and the same deception. And we need the light of God's Word. We've got to have it. And really, here we have a plea from Isaiah to the people of Israel here in Judah that they would walk in the light of the Lord. You see, really, we find here the indictment against Judah. And for this very reason that I'm getting ready to tell you, they were destroyed. And so I just want us to look at it. Because the first thing that we see is that they were infatuated with the world's ways. Listen what it says in verse number 6. Therefore hast thou forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves and the children of strangers. You see, they were infatuated with the world's ways. Let me tell you the first thing that was the problem. The world's thinking had become their thinking. The way the world thought had become the way that they thought. And what do I mean when I talk about the world? If you would have, you'd have to maybe look at a map and you'll see Judah. You have Judah sitting there, and then all around it, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, they are totally and completely surrounded by pagan nations, believing pagan things. And the truth of the matter is, when it's talking about how that they were replenished from the east, the soothsayers like the Philistines, that was the enemy that was to the west of them. And that they please themselves in the children of strangers. The Bible is saying that they have begun to think like the nations who are around them. They have begun to think like the world. Now, how does that affect us? What does that have to do with us, you say? Well, let me tell you something, guys. We are in danger of thinking like this world. Let's just talk for a minute. Let's talk about even the things that come into our homes. How about television? You know what? If you watch enough television, let me tell you what comes into your home. What comes into your home is this kind of thinking, that really homosexuality isn't a big deal, because it's all over the place. And you got whole shows where you got this gay person. And you know what? The Bible has a lot to say about it. And all of a sudden, you're filling your mind with this and you're watching this. And all of a sudden, the darkness of the world has blinded your own eyes. And next thing you know, you begin to think that, so what? You see divorce. You see immorality. You see so-and-so sleeping with so-and-so. And what's the big deal? You see, we fill our mind with this. Did you know that what you put in your mind eventually affects what you believe? You believe what you put into your mind. You see, you have gates into your mind. You have eye gates and you have ear gates. And what goes into your mind eventually becomes what you believe is true. You see, maybe we have some people who are sitting right here, and really and truthfully, you think that maybe your parents don't think it's really, don't want you to do it, and you think maybe that your school doesn't want you to do it, but really and truthfully, you don't think it's that big of a deal. You don't think it's that bad for people to be immoral. You know what? It's because the world's thinking has become our thinking. We are in danger. The darkness of this world has come into our lives. You know, you think about all of these mediums, you think about all of the influence of the world that's coming at us 100 miles an hour. It doesn't stop. TV, movies, radio, rock music. You know what? I don't know. I personally, when I got saved, when I was 21, I stopped listening to rock music. But I don't think it's probably gotten a lot better now than it was back then. And did you know that back then, you know what it mostly talked about? It talked about violence and it talked about sex. It was vulgar. And I remember as I put that stuff into my mind, I began to believe that those things were okay. And that's exactly what was the matter with the people of Judah. The thinking of the nations around them had become their thinking. And Isaiah is begging with them to return and to walk in the light of the Lord. Psalm chapter 101, verse 3, David said this, I will set no wicked things before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. Do you hate the things of this world? Or do you love the things of this world? Are they intriguing to you? Are you wanting to try? Are you wanting to test? Are you wanting to taste? Because I'm going to tell you something, it doesn't take much, and a taste becomes an appetite. Not only had the world's thinking become their thinking, but the world's people had become their people. Listen to what it says. In the last phrase there, it says this, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. It's talking about how that the world's people had become their people. You see, there was all this intermarrying that had begun to happen. That God had told the people of Israel, no, you stay within Israel. You are my holy people. Don't marry these pagan nations. Don't let your children marry the children of these pagan people. But it had begun to happen. And their friends and their comrades and then eventually their wives and their husbands were people who were not saved. People who did not know God. They were pagan people. The world's people had become their people. Who do you love? I want to ask you a question. Is your best friend a friend of God's? Does your best friend push you towards God? Or has the world's people become your people? You know what the Bible tells us? That your friends will determine your enemies. Did you know that? Because the Bible says this in James chapter 4, verse 4. What? Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? The word enmity means to set yourself up as the enemy of God. The Bible says this, that if you are friends with the world, you set your own self up to be the enemy of God. You say, oh, come on now. Wait just a second. I'm not the enemy of God. Well, it depends on who your friends are, according to James chapter 4, verse 4. My friend, have you set yourself up to be an enemy of God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Listen, I didn't say it. God said it. Where do you stand? The world's thinking had become their thinking, and the world's people had become their people because they were infatuated with the world's ways. But then I want us to go on, because not only were they infatuated with the world's ways, but they were infatuated with the world's wealth. I mean, you know what? They wanted the world's wealth. Now you say, come on, Aaron, there's nothing matter with money. And that's right. In and of itself, there's nothing matter with money, but the Bible has a lot to say about the love of money and the goals. You see, the world's goals had become their goals. Listen to what it says. Their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end to their treasure. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. And really, the horses and the chariots were just a sign of power and prestige, and really just showing that they had become a wealthy nation. And you know what? There's nothing the matter with becoming a wealthy nation. The problem was, is it was their goal. It's what they wanted. And I got a question for you. What do you want out of life? And these people, the world's goals had become their goals. They were all about money. They were all about materialism. They were all about greed. Give me, give me, give me. You know, there was a man in the Bible. He was actually a man that had his ups and downs. He started off great. He slumped down. But then he finished out strong, and his name was Solomon. You know what Solomon, he wrote three books of the Bible. He wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. But you know what? In the book of Ecclesiastes, real fast, turn with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter number... Let me see, I think it's chapter number 2, Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. If you got your Bible, turn over there, or you can just listen. Listen to these words of the great man Solomon, starting in verse number 10 of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Listen to what he said. Ecclesiastes chapter number 2, verse 10. Listen to what he said. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. You know what he just said? He said, anything I wanted, I got it. Man, wouldn't you love to be able to say that? I mean, really and truthfully, he said, anything I wanted, I got it. There was nothing I couldn't have. Man, today I want a Lamborghini. Tomorrow I want a Ferrari. The next day I want a yacht. I mean, really, anything he wanted, he could have it. Could you imagine? You see, Solomon, he was extremely wealthy. Solomon had all the gold. Solomon had all the girls. I mean, he had like 300 wives and 700, no, 700 and something wives and 300 cucumber vines. I mean, this man, that really was just a girlfriend. He had all of these women. He had all the gold. He had all the girls. He had all the glory. This man had everything. Everybody would have looked at Solomon and said, woo-hoo-hoo, man, this guy's got it all. But I want you to listen to what he said. Listen to this statement. Whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. Anything I wanted, I got. Listen to the next statement. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Anything I wanted to do, I got to do it. Anything. And he said this, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. And then listen to verse 11. Listen to what he said. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit in any of it under the sun. Listen to the first phrase just a few verses later of verse 17. The richest man probably who's ever lived. And listen to what it says in verse 17. Therefore, I hated life. Therefore, I hated life. Guys, could you imagine having anything you ever wanted to have? You could do anything you ever wanted to do. And you come to the place where you say that you hate life. You know what? It's because things will never make you happy. Getting to do anything you want to do will not make you happy. If you want to live your whole life for the things that this world has to offer, prepare to live a life that will not satisfy your soul. It won't do it. Because God didn't make you to be satisfied with the things of this world. He made us to be satisfied totally and completely by Him and Him alone. You go chase your dreams. You go ahead and you live your life going after every goal that this world has to offer, and you will come out empty. Ask Solomon. Ask Kurt Cobain. Kurt Cobain is one story among many just like his. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and through 21 says this. Jesus was talking. He said, lay not up for yourself treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. He said, where your heart, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, these people, they were infatuated with the world's ways and they were infatuated with the world's wealth. And God was begging them, or Isaiah was begging them, God was begging them through the man Isaiah to return and walk in the light of the Lord. You know what? Some of you, you need to return. You need to let the light of God's word shine into your life and expose the fact that you are not thinking correctly. You've begun to believe these lies. Thirdly, I want us to see that they were not only infatuated with the world's ways and the world's wealth, but they were infatuated with the world's worship. Listen to what it says in verse number 8, and their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. The mean man, or that means the common man, boweth down. The great man humbleth himself before these idols. Therefore, forgive them not. You see, the world's gods have become their gods. Now today, in this day and age, we don't so much. I mean, these people had whole temples and stuff. And they had all these little idols that they would make with their hands and they would bow down to them. In this day and age, we don't have that as much now as we did then, although there is some of that. And although the Bible tells us that there's no name under heaven whereby men may be saved other than Jesus Christ. And any bowing down to anything or anybody other than Jesus Christ is useless and purposeless. But you know, really and truthfully, when you think about the world's gods, you know, I believe that we worship a lot of gods that in and of themselves aren't necessarily wrong. Man, I mean, we worship all kinds of gods. We worship the god of sports. We worship the god of friends. Really, a god, and you bowing down to a god, is you bowing down to anything that gets your heart and gets your affections more than God gets them. An idol is anything in your life that you love more than God. You know what? If I'm not careful, I could go fishing and I could think about fishing far more than I think about God. And you know what? All of a sudden, something that's not wrong, fishing, has become a god to me. It's become an idol. You know, what are the idols in your life? What are the things that you love more than you love God? Man, I mean, listen, people get into sports and they love sports. They get into the girlfriend. Man, there's nothing matter with having a girlfriend, but you know what? You can't worship your girlfriend. Man, there's nothing the matter with having a boyfriend, but you can't worship your boyfriend. There's nothing the matter with having friends, but you know what? Sometimes your friends are far more important to you than God. You worship them. You worship, man, you worship shopping. Man, you'd rather be at the mall spending money than anywhere. You know, what are the idols of our hearts? What are the things that get our affections? What are the things that get our attentions? Let me tell you a story. I was traveling and I was in the state of Iowa. And there was this boy there and he was 16 years old and he was like Mr. Athlete. Man, this guy could do anything. I mean, he was really and truthfully amazing. I mean, all through his dad was the pastor of this church, but he went to a public school. But he played football in football season. He played basketball in basketball season. He played in a league where he played baseball, and then all summer he played in a tennis league. I mean, the guy could do anything. He was amazing. He really was. And man, I'm just talking to him and I'm spending time with him, and it doesn't take long before I'm like, all this guy talks about is sports. Man, I mean, this guy like lives and breathes sports. And I remember I took him to a little barbecue restaurant downtown in this little sleepy town of Boone, Iowa. And we're sitting down and we're chewing on some barbecue pork, you know, and we're just sitting there chowing down. And I just start talking to him and I start asking him about what matters most in his life. What do you love? And man, it came out just flying. Once again, sports this, sports that, sports this. MVP, national championship. I mean, it consumed him. I said, what do you do the few times that you're not playing sports? And he's like, well, man, I'm like a PS2 junkie. He like played PS2, man, all the time. When sports wasn't his god, PS2 was his God. And I just looked at him. I said, Caleb, you know, I got to shoot straight with you, man. I said, you sound to me like you're bored. I mean, every single thing you do, it's always got to be something else. It's always got to be something new. It's always got to be another season. I said, have you ever just for one time in your life thought of maybe taking one season off? And he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, man, this is the thing that you worship. This is your God. And I challenged him with something. You know what I challenged him with? I said, what if, Caleb, what if you just one season or something, you just took a fast from the distractions of your life? Really, it is. That's what it is. It's distractions. It's things that steal your heart away. Distractions. I said, what if you just take a fast? That means you lay off your distraction. I said, man, what if you just take a month off? Man, you don't play your PS2 for a whole month. And instead, what you do is you go to God's Word and you really and truthfully say, God, I got a question for you. Will you really satisfy me? God, will you really satisfy me? I said, listen, Caleb, in the book of Psalms, David's challenging Israel, and he said, hey, listen, taste and see that God is good. Open your mouth, God said, and see if I won't fill it. I said, Caleb, what if you just took a month and you just got a journal, and every day of your life for a solid month, you went to the book of Psalms. Man, they're just little bitty chapters. And you took your little journal and you just sat down and you started going through a psalm and you just started writing down who God is and what God means to you. And you just write in there maybe a little prayer thanking God. And I just challenged him with starting to write down and do a little biography of God. Really, I've heard of several different preachers who've talked about doing a little biography of God. I did that back a few years ago. It was awesome for me. Just to sit down and to go in the morning. I like to sit down and take a cup of coffee. Man, I love coffee. I like good coffee. I don't like cheap coffee. And I like taking my coffee and sitting down and getting alone with the Lord and taking out my journal. Man, personally, I like wanting to get a cool journal. Mine isn't like a little spiral notebook. Man, mine's leather. I got it at Starbucks. And man, I got my little journal and I sit down and I just spend time with God and I write down things about God. And I said, Caleb, what if you just take a fast from the distraction of your life and you just tasted to see if God will not satisfy your soul? You know what? I'm looking at some teenagers and you know what you need to do? You need to take a fast. You need to go on a fast from the distractions of your life. You need to stop. You need to let the Word of God shine its light into your life and expose the darkness because it's there. You filled your mind with this world. You filled your mind with the world's thinking. Guys, you know what? Some of you need to go on a fast. You need to just lay off of the infectious things that are permeating your life. And some of them aren't even bad. Some of them are. But you just need to take a break. You need to come and you need to let the Word of God, this is a light unto your path. It is a lamp unto your feet. And you know what? This right here will come into your life and it will, number one, satisfy your soul. But it will show you the truth. Guys, we need the truth. You know, Saturday morning there in Boone, Iowa, I'm pulling into... we're packing up our stuff, and me and the evangelist I travel with, Will Galkin, and we're packing up, and we're getting ready to leave at 7:30 in the morning. Here comes this little red car, meow, comes flying into the parking lot. I saw it. I said, hey, there's Caleb. 7:30, Saturday morning. Man, if I'd have been him, I'd have been in bed, you know. But he comes cruising in the parking lot. He comes walking up. Hey, I just came by to say bye to you guys. I said, thanks, man. That's awesome. He had something in his hand. And, you know, I'm talking to him there, and he said, hey, listen, I want to give you something. And he hands me a PS2 game. It was his favorite one. It was brand new. He'd just gotten it. It was 2006, last year's NCAA basketball. It was his favorite game. It was the one that he spent hours playing at that time. And he said, here, I just want to give you this. And he said, this is just kind of a token to let you know that I'm going to take your challenge. I'm going to taste and see if God won't satisfy my soul. And he said, I'm going to kind of take a break on all the distractions of my life. And he said, you know, mail it back to me, you know, a month or whatever. You know, this past summer, I mailed it back to him. I mailed it back to him about a month or so later. But this past summer, I was working up at camp, up at Northland, and he came. He and his church came to camp, and I saw him on Monday. Man, I went over and I gave him a big hug. I said, hey, man, how's it going, dude? I did you get your game back? He said, yeah, I got it. I said, how's it going? And he said, you know, it's going great. He said, I got a journal and I've been journaling and he said, I've missed a couple days, Aaron, but for the most part, I've been on top of it. I've hardly missed any days. This is like 3 months later. I was pumped. And I was asking about the game and I said, so you still playing your games? And he said, you know, actually, Aaron, I don't. I don't play my PS2 anymore. I said, now, dude, there's nothing the matter with your PS2. You can play. He said, I know, but I just haven't. I haven't started back up. He said, you know, Aaron, I really started going after God. He's 16. As you know what? You are not too young to go after God. You are not too young to take the challenge of tasting and seeing if God isn't good enough for you. You know, I want to challenge you guys from my heart to yours that you will allow the light of God's Word to come in and expose you and expose how that the world's thinking has become your thinking. Maybe the world's people are your people. You love the world's people. The world's goals have become your goals. The world's gods have become your gods. And what God wants you to find out, that He and He alone is enough.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled, Taste and See That God is Good Enough for You by Evangelist Aaron Coffey. It was originally presented in January of 2007 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.